Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go.
Where most of us get off our centers, where we literally get out of time, is we are in conversation with other, and we will leave our bodies in a way to be in conversation with other. So what does that look like? Have you ever noticed the gaze of people when you look at them? If they look through you or to the side, or if they look off to any side and they can't hold that resonance with you, that can't hold that focus, or they'll hold it so intently that you will not be able to match it. And there'll be this uncomfortability where you feel like you're just, someone is actually looking through you, but you feel unsafe with that gaze. It can be very manipulative, that type of hyper-focused eye contact can have a manipulative edge if it's not a connective one. And then of course, discernment is the key. So most of us, unfortunately, when we're in conversation with people, the reason why we're not having deep connections is because we're not really in our bodies when we're having them. And most of us didn't learn how to have deep-seated connections when, you know, growing up. We weren't taught how to regulate our nervous systems. We weren't taught how to share our feelings or name our feelings. And we most likely observed or scanned the frequency of our parents around us and heard the way that they talked about themselves. And that affects our self-perception greatly because it affects our self-image, ergo our self-esteem. And when it comes to building worthiness and getting taken seriously and having doors open for us and synchronicities and having more opportunities and having other people see us for what we are capable of versus our limitation, that has everything to do with the perception, the perceptual filters that we have around our identity. So we're going to be working a lot on identity tonight, being able to see ourselves from a higher perspective, being able to hold a resonance for who we are on a different level, and therefore being able to create a different feedback loop with people. So a handful of people are getting stuck in this concentric circle that has to do around where you're rendering yourself in time, meaning how you're seeing yourself. If you saw yourself from the level that I see you, which is this brilliant light of possibility, probability, right, that you're capable of doing anything, then would that version of you actually settle for the things that you're settling for now? Would they make the decisions that they're making now? The actual self versus the ideal self, self-esteem looks like inside of all of that. How do you build esteem when it hasn't necessarily been shown or you haven't learned how to cultivate it? If your inherent value wasn't determined early on for you and there were conditions that were put upon you in order to be lovable or worthy of love, meaning there was a performative aspect or an expectation put on you very early on to do well in whatever thing that your inherent value wasn't enough in some way, whatever you were doing wasn't enough, or what you're doing is wrong. Okay. Your self-esteem is going to be linked with lack. So on the maternal line, for all of you working on deeply ingrained patterns of lack, worthiness, a lot of critical narrative here, self-criticism, self-abuse. So it's a overarching pattern of dark lack, dark not being enough, dark self-esteem. This is a bitterness and a resentment of lack of trust, self, your self-betrayal, betrayal from a partner, a masculine, a sister, a friend. It's deep imprintation. This is all very generational. And what's interesting also, after this, we're going to go to the center of the brain and work on a lot of talk, it's like negative self-talk. Things that have been said to you that have been critical of the way that you look and the obligation that is, or the unspoken expectation of the physical and performative aspect that has been placed upon the nervous systems for all of you, whether or not you're listening to the recording of this or you're on the live call, is extensive. This type of languaging about, again, physical attributes. This is going back very, very long, a lot of generations. So much expectation has been put on beauty and looks in order to survive. And then if you don't fit those standards, you were sold off to, you know, the highest bidder and expected to perform, expected to give children. That expectation has almost put like these little emotional, psychological, and DNA detonators where you'll reach a certain threshold or someone will say the wrong thing to you and you'll be like, what did you just say to me? I know you're not talking to me that way. Really coming in, it will almost cause, like, you have no idea why it brings up so much rage. Or there was very handsy, inappropriate bedside manner with particular people, whether or not that was coaches, dates, from a masculine or a feminine that runs a masculine frequency. There's aspects, I want to say like 30%, 30, 33%, where they feel very unsafe in the body from this particular pattern set. And there's another like 20 that feels unsafe for other reasons. When it comes to self-image, it's in theory and then logically, we think we have a handle on it, of what it means. But the frequency level, the first principle level, is a little bit different. So this kind of standard model is, even in conversation, just be curious to go when you leave this call, have conversations about what people perceive self-image to be. Okay, is it typically the standard representation of it, or how it was presented in psychology classes early on, to the mental representation or picture an individual has of themselves, encompasses both physical appearance and perceived personal traits. Self-image is about how people perceive themselves and how they believe they are seen by others. Okay, so here's the nuance. Self-image is actually how you perceive yourself to be. It's a projection of a projection. So we are being projected here. Okay. I know this is hard to get our heads wrapped around, but essentially our spirit bodies, through holography, we're basically creating a rendering. You've heard me talk about this before. We are creating a rendering that we're repixelating based on the level of awareness that we're at and based on how on our frequency vibration and our resonance and how fast we're oscillating, et cetera. And when we're clearing a lot of patterns at a very, very high rate, we constantly have to refresh our cache. It's like programming language, meaning it's kind of like refreshing a website like every second. Okay. And it's happening at quantum levels, at spirit level. So when you're really, really picking up momentum, the patterns clear automatically. And they clear faster, predicated on your level of acceptance of where you are at any specific moment. Predicated on the acceptance of whatever is happening now is happening right now. And the sooner you accept kind of what's so, the sooner that screen change that most people are seeking when they're in discomfort can happen. So the first is acceptance. You start with where you are, and then you take the next indicated action. Because we're creating that projection, we then create, based on our distortion patterns, a projection from there of what people are interacting with. So it's almost like a projection of itself that is being interpreted. That is really what self-image is. We see it as what's in the mirror. That's how it's described. Because typically a lot of these modalities are all physical based. So they're taking attributes of the psyche and then creating terms around them and definitions around them based on best practices at the time. So what's cool about all this is you literally can change a filter around your self-image like that, like in a snap. Because if you're a projection of a projection, and then you're observing yourself, right, as the observer, then how you see yourself isn't actually one-dimensional. It's like very, very multidimensional. So you can see yourself from this angle, from over here, from on the top, from the below, from underneath. You're seeing yourself from various different vantage points. And you create a 360-degree view of who you are at any given point. And being able to hold multiple foci of your own resonance with being in the body, your non-local awareness being in a local body, right? Physical body, being able to hold that perception of yourself in various points, which is part of the advanced mastery here. The way that you interact with yourself is simply a moment of how present you are. So your own rendering sharpens the more present you are. So it's constantly changing. Your image is constantly changing. Your rendering is constantly changing. The actual self, what everybody is really here for, every single person I work on who comes to me for this level of work, this potency of work, wants to experience more of their innate intelligence. They want to experience more of their fundamental authenticity, which is what I believe spirit self is. Okay. Spirit self, actual self, your innate intelligence wants to express itself fundamentally and authentically.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media, because that's how it works in this world. And in the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.